Welcome to Politicking as Usual. That's right. That wasn't an error. Politicking as Usual. We're back with the relaunch. Politics as Usual is no more, but we're back better than ever with Politicking as Usual. We've got a whole litany of topics to talk about, so we're going to get right into it. But before we do it, we're going to go ahead and introduce ourselves and the audience to let you know what we're about with this brand new relaunch. So, of course, it's your boy Mars, founder of Down in the Den and a litany of Down in the Den shows. Please check us out. We have content pretty much every single day of the week under Mars Entertainment or wherever you listen to podcasts. And going right down the line, of course, we have that man, the short man from Off Punishment, from Down in the Den After Dark. He is the most hilarious guy you ever want to see on the internet. He's a firestorm, and he's going to be handling pop culture on this series. And of course, we got that man, Big Gerald, as a special guest correspondent for this episode. You know him from Down in the Den After Dark. He's hilarious. He's one of the best attorneys, the only man to take Cal down in court. And he is a great contributor to Down in the Den After Dark, the newest member of the family, but it seems like he's been there from the very start. He's going to be handling some social issues, talking about some excellent we're going to be talking about some social issues going on out there. And of course, Cal, you know him, Cal Jones, star of Cal's Court, great partner with Down in the Den After Dark. And he's going to be handling a little bit of the sports, if you will, as well as other segments. So we're going to give you guys some great content, and we thank you guys for looking in. We thank you guys for listening. And if you guys ready to get it, let's get it.
Let's go.
All right. So we're going to start off first, man. It's blowing up everywhere. That man, whoa, Keanu Reeves is back. And that man, short man, is going to come to us with the pop culture and a new phenomenon. Don't mess with this man's dog, John Wick 4. Tell us about it, man, and then we're all going to dig in and tell us what we think about the series so far. So get right into it, bro.
All right. Well, as you see, I love Jesus. Greetings and salutations, great people out there. It is the short one. I'm back. I'm reformed. So we're going to talk about John Wick today. Now, as you guys know, Keanu Reeves is a mega, mega star. He is back with the final installment of John Wick 4. Now, if you guys have followed this John Wick series, you know how it started. He had lost his wife. His wife had left him a dog. Some people had robbed him, killed his dog, and it showed who he truly was an assassin of this high, high establishment. And as you've seen parts 2 and 3, as you see in part 3, how he had lost a finger trying to regain his freedom and get clear and everything. And now we're in 4, where he is taking on everything. The movie is like starting off action packed. Like, he goes off, he's riding on a horse, he's shooting, he's kicking butt all over. I'm trying not to cuss, so bear with me. You guys know me from Down at the Den After Dark, and you know I can get a little graphic, but
he loves Jesus today.
Shepherd. But this movie honestly has been a gem for me, because I'm a huge Keanu Reeves star, even back from the Bill and Ted days, where he was awesome and getting on the elevator with the phone booth and all of that stuff. But this movie, he has shown he's topped it off with another notch of these action stars. I can't remember all of their names, but Lawrence Fishburne, he didn't really have a big part, but he plays a major role. Action pack.
Johnny Yen. There you go.
Yeah. Oh man, when I look, if you have y'all seen the movie?
I haven't seen it. I'm supposed to see it this weekend.
Okay, but y'all have seen a lot of the John Wicks, right? Y'all have followed the story.
All three. Yeah.
This one.
Before you continue, rest in peace, Lance. What's his name? He just passed away. He plays the maitre d'.
I don't want to give the movie away in this, but it has some really sad endings to it. But like I said, action packed. Keanu Reeves this should break a record, I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Because he went off and he was taking care of business. And oh my God, all I can say, if you have not seen this movie, please go see it. I can't give all of it away, but if you love action-packed, let me take my hat off, action-packed ass whippings, John Wick will be the movie for you. Please go check this out.
All right. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited, and thank you for that review. So it's a thumbs up from Short Man. He loves Jesus, and he loves John Wick 4. So let's talk about it. Now, us three, we have not seen the movie, but we've all seen 1 through 3. Big Gerald, what do you feel about the series so far? And also, as another movie buff like myself, what do you feel about these 58-year-old action stars? It seems like you can't even be an action star. At least you got Liam Neeson. He's like 75 beating people's butts. Denzel Washington is like 60-something beating people's butts. Keanu Reeves, even though he doesn't look that old, he's damn near 60. He's like 58. Yeah. What do you feel about that, man? I need the view from another movie buff. Can we get a young action star? What's going on with that?
Well, it's kind of hard because a lot of the action movies that come out now are the superhero movies. So you don't really look at these young stars as action heroes. A lot of the good action movies are of the actors from my era. And, you know, that's no slight to anybody right now. It's just, it is what it is. Keanu Reeves, of course, this is another great adaptation of John Wick. By far, from the reviews, is going to be one of his better roles. And with, you know, Constantine 2 getting approved and ready to come out, I can only imagine either the end of this year or next year is going to go. So, you know, shout out to them. I will say, you know, this is a bright spot, better than the Matrix Rebooted or whatever it was called. So to me, I think this is a good thing. As far as action stars, the reason why, like I said, the reason why it's so hard, especially for us, these up and coming actors, you know, with the pandemic and everything, anything that was good that was coming out kind of missed out on. We, you know, we have a lot of people that are reprise roles. When you think of action stars, the first people you think of is The Rock. Like you said, Donnie Yen is still amazing. I haven't seen this movie yet, but I already know he was amazing in this movie. He's been in all his action movies.
Yo, like, I cannot give away the storyline for this, but yo, please go see it. Like, it's, if you like long movies, I think I was in the movie theater for about 3 hours, but action-packed, non-stop storyline was great. It keeps you on your toes and your heels.
Mm-hmm. And so I answer your question with a question. You know, they tried this before, trying to bring young stars to the limelight, especially with the Expendables 3 movie, where they tried to give us Ronda Rousey and the young boy from Twilight as megastars, and it didn't punch through. I guess the question is, why don't Hollywood feel there's any up-and-coming young action stars? Because with their money, they keep going back to the old faithfuls. I mean, think about it. Harrison Ford is making another Indiana Jones movie. He's 80. So that's the reason why we're asking this question. And Hollywood is like, we're going to give you what we have because we ain't got nobody else.
I think a lot of it has to do with the budget. You know, these movies, when we were growing up, if it made $100 million, that was considered a blockbuster. These movies now cost, some of these superhero movies, $200 million, you throw in marketing, they got to make $1 billion. So it's a lot less risk they can take as a big studio with these tentpole movies. Some movies, we used to grow up and see movies about sports. When's the last time you've seen a movie about sports on TV, on movies? With streaming and so many other platforms, the big studios really can't take a risk. And I think that's why, if you're not in a superhero movie, you're really not going to get any action play, because they can't take the risk of putting a $300 million movie on a name that's unknown and then it flops. You need a Matt Damon, you need a Tom Cruise. All these guys are 50, 60 years old because they're bankable, and you know you're going to get a return on your investment. So I think that's why, you know, never again will we see a bodybuilder come from overseas that sounds like this and become an acting star. You're not going to see that. You're not going to see that anymore. So I think to answer your question, it all comes down to the risk reward for the studios.
I think that's a good answer, Mars, and I'm going to follow up on that. I think it's too much content. So when you got too much content out here, you got to have a big star to show why they should watch your movie instead of, you know, like watching Netflix or Disney or anything else. Also, social media. I think that we see these people so much that we oversaturate them. Like, we see Kevin Hart so much that by the time he's in a movie, it don't feel like nothing new. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, and all of them, you only saw them when a movie was coming out. You didn't see them every single day posting stuff, and that's why we don't see like cult followings anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely. No, I agree 100%. Now, to piggyback off of that, I know, Drew, you mentioned, you know, we've seen Keanu Reeves in several big franchises and big drill. You also mentioned, you know, that John Wick has been, you know, different from The Matrix. Al, what do you think about, in comparison to the two series? Because they both had four movies.
Ooh, that's tough.
Starred Keanu Reeves. Both were revolutionary in their own terms on two different generations. I remember where I was. I was like a junior in college when The Matrix came out. And I remember my roommate coming to my dorm. And he's like, bro, like his mind's blown. And he's like, it really changed his way of thinking. He's like, I don't even think reality's real anymore. And I'm like, damn, bro. So what are your opinions on that in comparison between the two series? Four for four, which one would you feel is a better one in your opinion? And we'll all go around the room and then we'll move to the next topic. That's you, Cal.
Oh, me? Oh, my bad. I thought you said
sorry. It's our first episode back, ladies and gentlemen. It's all good.
Ooh,
it's all
that's tough because John Wick, I think each one it gets better. So, like, that's hard to do for a movie. But The Matrix was just, it was different. It was, like, ahead of its time. Even right now when I watch The Matrix, it still seems like there's nothing else out there that's like it. I mean, it made me think about real life. And I still think about real life now like I'm in The Matrix. So, ooh, that's tough. I go to Matrix. No, because The Matrix, they fell off like the third one. No, this last one was kind of bad.
This last one was trash, booty trash, man.
Like, I still got to go to Matrix.
I feel they fell off after the second one. But the first one was so good.
Yeah,
like, I don't know if any of the John Wick movies were as good as the first Matrix. But
It wasn't.
As a series, though, I don't think it's any contest. John Wick as a series is way better. Because like you said, that fourth one that came on HBO Max, I don't even think it came on the movie theater.
It went to the movies then came on HBO Max at the same time. And exactly. it was so garbage. I think they waited way too long to even bring it out. And then all the new stuff that they added to it, they were trying to be so much of what society is right now. And they lost this. They lost it. It just, oh man, I felt like it was, I wanted my money back even though I watched it in my living room for free.
What say you, Gerald?
The biggest thing about that last Matrix movie, it was the storytelling. Yeah. Like they were trying to tie in the fact that they killed off their main characters at the end of the third one and tried to bring them back like, well, it's the Matrix. Anything's possible. The storytelling was choppy. And so they tried to save it with action sequences that didn't make sense, because once Lawrence Fishburne didn't come reprise his role, they tried to make this new Morpheus like this was the person that taught him how to be Neo. And the audience was disconnected automatically.
Yeah,
I was for sure.
And the bad guy in this last one, it didn't feel realistic. There was nothing on the line that made you think Neo needs to remember who he is. Technically, he kind of knew who he was, and it was Trinity that was trying to remember who she was. And she played a major role in Neo's life, but not a major part of the movie. So the storytelling was just really off, because none of that needed to even exist, to be honest with you. And I think that, you know, with the pandemic and studios trying to just save money, it was something that they could throw together, you know, trying to make a buck. And the John Wick series, even with the distance between 3 and 4, the storytelling is just amazing in the John Wick series. It doesn't feel watered down. It doesn't feel like it's too much. It's like, how can we tie this off? And the way Short Man described it, like they gave it this cherry on top and they're sending it right into the thing. But to me, I believe that Constantine was one of Keanu Reeves' best roles.
Yeah, it slept on.
I've never seen Constantine, and I didn't watch the first Matrix until 10 years after it came out. I was late to the Matrix party.
Oh, okay. I highly recommend Constantine. It's one of the better, technically it's a superhero movie, and it's completely different from the source material. Like in the source material, he's British and blonde and bisexual and all of this stuff. And Keanu Reeves, none of that, but he actually encompasses the spirit of the role better than most of the superhero movies that I've seen out there. He's fantastic. And the fact that he had a passion to bring that movie back so many years later, salute to Keanu Reeves, man, because he's been knocking some bangers late. And there was some point where it got rough for Keanu. He was dropping some of those romantic comedies and he's like, whoa, I just want to love you, Sandra Bullock. And it was really...
Even when he brought back this new Bill and Ted,
Speed was good, man.
Speed was good.
Yeah,
but that's Speed early Keanu Reeves.
Yeah,
even that last Bill and Ted though, I would have just let them stay in the 90s. I wouldn't have brought them into the 2000 era.
All right, so I got a question for y'all. Then, go ahead, Big Drew. My bad.
No. I was gonna say if you get a chance, watch Constantine. Because a lot of major actors from a lot of these superhero movies were in that movie. I forget the brother's name. Yep, him, Shia LaBeouf. That was one of his first real big roles on screen. And the lady that played the
ancient one. Yeah. Yeah.
She played you'll like it.
Okay, I'll check that out for sure.
Dope movie. So overall, we're loving John Wick. Shout out to Keanu Reeves. Come on over to the Marvel world. We need you. I'm thinking Silver Surfer, Ghost Rider is perfect for you. I would love to see you in the MCU sometime soon. I don't care that you're not knocking on Sitsi's door. Shout out to Keanu Reeves. And I heard he's a nice guy too. Like he's always like on the subway to shuffle, handing people sandwiches. So shout out to a nice Hollywood actor.
I got a question for y'all though.
What's that? So
where do we put Keanu Reeves in our action hero list of like stars and like our top 10? Is he in the top 10?
All right, so and we're talking about in our lifetime, right?
Yeah, we'll go with our lifetime.
He's definitely in my top 10. I'm gonna say probably for me with the Matrix and the John Wick, I'm going to have to put him on probably number 3 for me.
I like that. That's a lot of movies, man.
I'm going to have to say 3 because for me, of course, number 1 for me is always going to be Arnold, man. Because Terminator 1, Terminator 2, Predator, Commando, Total Recall. What was the...
Blade Runner?
Not Blade Runner. The one where it's... It slept on where everybody had like it was like a game show.
And, I know you're talking about
Predator, like that alone. And I even like Twins and Kindergarten Cop.
I even like Eraser.
Yeah, Eraser.
Eraser was fire.
Eraser was fire. So for
Last Hero was good too.
Last Hero was dope. But like I said, Terminator 1 and Terminator 2 alone, Terminator 2 to me is a perfect action movie. Like,
but he was Conan the Barbarian too, though. Don't forget. Conan.
Damn, I forgot about that.
Absolutely. So that alone for me, Arnold's number 1. Number 2, I have to go with Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Because the Rocky series had me start boxing until I was about 14 and I got knocked on my ass one time and I was like, okay, that's enough of the boxing. But Rocky had me in the living room in boxer shorts, like thinking, like he Sylvester Stallone is responsible. We don't get Creed without Rocky. The first 4 Rocky movies were amazing. We don't talk about Rocky 5. or Rocky Six, but or, what was it? Balboa was. We don't talk about that when he was like 65 beating up Antonio Tarver. We don't talk about that. But the Creed, the Rocky series, Rambo, of course. You can't Demolition Man, of course. I mean,
what's the ones that's out now?
There was in a movie called The Specialist when he was like this.
With Antonio Banderas?
Yeah. No, that was dang, that was a different
Assassin. Movie. That was Assassin.
Assassin, but The Specialist is a slept on movie, and Cliffhanger is a slept on movie.
Yeah,
Cliffhanger and Tunnel or Subway, where he was like in the tunnel or something.
Yeah, I get to see that one.
Yeah. And he has a new series, I believe, on Amazon.
Oh, yes, Tulsa King.
I just started that.
Samaritan.
Yeah, yeah. Ty Sheridan. He's a mastermind. He's got a whole universe going on. So Sly is going to be number two for me, and then number three, I'm going to have to slide in Keanu Reeves because, like I said, the Matrix and the John Wick series, Point Break. You don't get Fast and the Furious without Point Break because the first Fast and Furious. Instead of Point Break in cars, in surfboards, it's Point Break with cars. So I'm going to have to say Keanu Reeves at number three as far as an action hero. Number four, I'm going to slide in my man Wesley Snipes.
Over Ben Diesel? Yeah.
Wesley Who? Snipes.
Wesley Over Snipes. Ben Diesel.
I almost thought we were after dark and said something bad about Ben Diesel, but shout out to Ben Diesel. We're approved. Vin Diesel, I'll probably put in my top 10, but in the bottom of my top 10, because I ain't gonna hold you. After Fast Five, they could have kept him Fast.
Oh, no, but Wesley Snipes,
bro.
Blade, you don't even get the MCU without Blade.
Bro, Passenger 57 was hardcore, bro.
Thank you.
I mean, I even be able to put him over Harrison Ford.
No, even look, when he had with Woody Harrelson, Money Train, fire movie.
Yeah, it was good.
U.S. Marshal.
Oh, yeah.
Always bet on black.
But The Fugitive was better.
The movie he had with Robert De Niro, The Fan, where he was kind of like Barry Bonds.
Yeah, that was good.
That was fire. And Wesley Snipes is so versatile, man. And like, he really do that. And then number five, I'm going to have to throw in my man Harrison Ford at number five. Because like I said, indie, epic. He's the only president that I believe could beat people's tails. And he's still indie, like Big Gerald said, at 81 years old, still whipping that whip. I don't know how. The man was in Star Wars. Han Solo is epic. And he's about to be Red Hulk in the MCU at 81 years old. So yes. Harrison Ford is my top five. That's my top five for me. How about you, Cal Jones?
I agree with your list. I gotta slide Wesley, and put Harrison at four, and then I put Vin Diesel at five.
Okay. Family. It's all about family.
No, Vin Diesel tied. My bad. He tied with Clint Eastwood for five.
Okay.
Okay.
Clint still throwing punches in this movie. 95 years old. I ain't a rough guy, but Clint Eastwood, let's do it. Anytime you want to scrap, brother, I'm fairly certain I got you. Fairly certain I got you. Big Gerald, what's your top five action stars?
Number one, I'm going to get Arnold number one because of the valid points and the simple fact ain't really too many of these other guys doing action movies besides him. Number two for me, I'm going to go with Bruce Willis.
Wesley might have to get dropped. I forgot about Bruce Willis.
Wesley down to nine now.
This is those diehards went for. You know what I mean?
First three diehards.
I've always yeah. I mean, I like a Live Free or Die Hard. I just think, you know, the daughter aspect and all that, it just threw it off a little bit. We knew what was going to happen in the end, but I thought it was a good movie. I thought it came out at a time where when they were destroying DC, it was a little too realistic after all the 9/11 stuff, but that's not the here nor there. But Bruce Willis is definitely up there for me. Third, I'm going to put Donnie Yen because I like all the Ip Mans. All the stuff he did, he was in Star Wars movie. He was being up busy with a cane, okay?
Blind.
In the Star Wars. Yes. And so for me, Donnie Yen, and to this day, Donnie Yen's in a good movie. He was in the Blade, the second Blade movie with Wesley Snipes. You know, he didn't have a big role, but he had a good role. I like him. And then, like we said, Brian Keanu, because again, he did a lot of movies. And like I told Drew, man, you got to see Constantine. You'll love Constantine. And then for me to round it out, because he kind of influenced my childhood, because, you know, in the South, they was real big on karate movies, especially in the late 80s, Bruce Lee. It was short-lived, but Bruce Lee, you know, the father of MMA, you know, I always liked Bruce Lee movies, so.
Be like water.
Okay.
And short man, wrap up the segment.
Oh, man, shoot. We got to go with Mr. Arnold. And I don't have, like, the numbers, like, but Arnold, Stallone, Bruce Willis for sure. I'm a big Jet Li fan.
Oh, I like
this. One, by the way, the one, just throw that out there if you haven't seen it.
Damn, that's Wesley out the top 10.
And then, you know what? This might sound strange, but I'm a big fan of this person to this day. Jean-Claude Van Damme. He made my
childhood. That's a good one.
Don't think Bloodsport is still one of the greatest movies ever made. He didn't really, after Bloodsport, he did the Time Cops and all that stuff. And he did some slackish stuff. But Van Damme is one of my all-time greatest, man. Like, I can't go against Van Damme for nothing.
And if you haven't seen Double Team with Dennis Rodman, make sure you don't.
I wasn't even going to mention that movie. That movie was gone out of my mind.
That movie was horrible.
I won't even mention that one.
Hey, I got an honorable mention though.
Whoa.
Somebody we watched to this day. He's been in a lot of Tyler Perry movies, but he's put out some solid action movies too. Michael Jai White.
Oh,
Spawn.
Yes.
I don't know about top 10 though.
Bruh, no, look.
No, he's an honorable mention. Honorable
Have
mention.
You seen okay, Blood okay, and okay. Bone? Yeah. Have you seen Blood and Bone?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
You ain't never seen that? Bruh, watch it. Bruh. Blood and Bone is hard.
Right. Right.
And I like Black Dynamite. I know it's an action comedy.
Yeah.
Black Dynamite is All right. We've talked enough about action stars. But anyway, please, guys, check out John Wick, Keanu, the dope dude. The movie's apparently dope. Short man's giving his, we can't say two thumbs up because Siskel and Ebert own that. So maybe two middle fingers up, whatever he do. That's going to be the one that you want to check out. He loves Jesus. Of course.
It should be two OEs. Two OEs up.
Two cans of
don't do that.
I'm done with OE.
So now we'll go move into something a little bit more serious because politics as usual. It's your favorite misfits talking about things that's going on in the world. My man, Big Gerald, special contributor to today's episode. He does a lot of great things on the show, but he does even better things in real life. And he's going to come into us giving a little insight on something that's still a problem in the richest country in the world. It blows my mind, but homelessness. So we're going to give it a Big Drill to take it away, bro. Give us a little bit of insight on what you do when you're not making people laugh and not making the people hungry for the cakes, not making the ladies do like this for your singing voice. Tell us what you do to make this world a brighter place.
So what I do to try to put my stamp on humanity, I am a supportive service manager, which means I am over case managers who work directly with people who are experiencing homelessness. We try to get them housing, find ways to get them in the treatment, make it so that way they're not someone views on the side of the road and then drive away, try to keep the humanity in the situation. And I think right now, the biggest problem with homelessness is people are steady throwing money at it to kind of get rid of the problem, and homelessness is not something you can just get rid of. It's like any other disease, you have to treat it before it can go away. You know, at a time right now, being one of the top five richest countries on the planet, the biggest problem is we are a country that is putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg. Homelessness is a broken leg. No one's really taking the time out to try to reset, cast it, and let it heal. They want to throw money at it, or they want to make it or they want to criminalize it and push people to the side, which is not solving the whole issue. One of the biggest things when it comes to homelessness is there's so many different components. People view a person on the street and be like, oh man, it's the choices they made, or they need to go out and get a job, when there's more than that. A lot of the people you see on the street, the homeless, used to be doctors, used to be lawyers, business owners. And then when they hanging out with a friend, didn't know that, you know, genetics, they were going to have a mental break, life happened, and they lost everything during the pandemic. Some of these people are people who had six-figure jobs, lost it all within a year, and have never been in a situation that they're in and don't know how to get out of it. So that is one of the things when it comes down to it. Homelessness is just not something that happens to people that are bad. It happens to a lot of good people, too. And, you know, for me, it's always a subject that's kind of touchy, because someone who used to be homeless, I was homeless for a year. And so I had to kind of work back into being a productive member of society, but I was homeless because of any drug use. Thank God I've never had any addictions. I've never smoked a cigarette. So there's that. The thing was, I was somebody moving from the South, moved up here, and then the job that I was supposed to get fell through. I was too overqualified for any other positions, and I was unable to get a shot. It just so happened to have my third child here. And so for me, instead of deciding to live with my wife's father, who was gracious enough to try and do it, you know, I had to stand on the fact that, you know, I'd never been in that situation being raised in the South. You know, you just live in someone else's home. And so I promised him that I would take care of his daughter. And so I wasn't going to be the type of person to go back on my word. So I went down to a random mission and then worked my way up until I had two jobs and was able to get an apartment. And I haven't looked back since. But I guess the biggest thing for us is a lot of these people now, because the short man actually works in this field as well, we have a lot of good people who all they need is a shot. And, you know, society is like, build up a place and let's not worry about the fact that he may need to go to treatment. If I can get him in an apartment, that solves the problem. He's no longer homeless. No, that just means he has a place with four walls. He can get high and he'll lose it in 30 days. It's about wraparound care. We need more treatment beds. We need life skills. We need people that's running from domestic violence to feel safe, because they'll go back with the person that hit on them just to say they have a place that's safe. And usually that's not even inside of a car. It's just so many dynamics to it. And I think the more we bring attention to it, I think we can come up with more solutions than trying to solve a problem just by throwing money at it.
Yeah. And to piggyback, because, you know, because I'm in that same field, we can put somebody in a permanent housing situation, they lose it in 30 days because they'll get high and they don't have the financial literacy. They haven't been taught that. You know, they might have been taught in an early age, but if you've been out, as I call it, in the field for so long, you kind of lose certain things, that certain life skills that you've been taught. So it's survival tactics. So going up into the four walls and you're still battling addiction, you're going to lose it all once again, and you're going to have to start from ground zero. So we can't really throw money at it. Like, we really have to help, you know, certain situations. If people will get involved and say, hey, I want to come in and talk to some people, or some of these addiction treatments really take the time and don't give other pills, but let people detox, have some counseling going on, like, and don't charge. Like, I really feel like a lot of people take advantage of the homeless situation with the Medicare and Medicaid and all that stuff, because it's a money play. But if you really come out the kindness of your heart and say, hey, I just want to come and talk to people and give some people, all you need is five solid steps to get you back into society. And then somebody, a real mentor, somebody that really cares with an open heart, and to help you, guide you, and then you pass that on, you can beat a lot of these situations. You know what I mean? So just my train of thought on certain things, maybe, because this is a topic for me, like, because I've been in the streets too, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I had nobody that wanted to take me in, and I was 17 at the time. It took for me, I had to go all the way to another state to stay with people that I barely even knew just because I was sleeping on top of an apartment complex or people sneaking me in their house and like, or I'm walking around. And I was 17 years old and my high school dropout. You know what I mean? So that's a touchy feeling, a touchy subject to my heart because I'd been out there. You know what I mean? So that's why I know Gerald is in that field because of he actually is for the people and I'm for the people. And we work for two different companies that actually don't want to intertwine with each other. But because he's my friend, we work together on the side and folks, and we do a lot of great things to help a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? And we just want more people involved in there. So don't try to just throw money, really get involved and come, you know, cook a meal. You know, if you got some skills, if you're a counselor and you can help battle addiction, come and talk to some people, help with some treatments. You know what I'm saying? Like the money, don't just throw money. Like it's not going to solve anything.
No, y'all, you wanted Mars?
No, I was going to say, Calvin, do you have anything to add?
I think both of y'all made great points. And first of all, shout out to y'all. Y'all are great people. We need more people like y'all. I think y'all always gonna face an uphill battle because it's a country about making money. So no matter how much time you put in, if the system is designed to keep you homeless because somebody over y'all is making money and they're throwing the money to them, it's always gonna be the problem. Addiction, same thing. Even though somebody's addicted to something, it's designed for them to come back to the addiction home to get help. Jail, cancer, like you look at anything, we can solve everything in the world, but there's money in everything, crime. Jails. So I mean, I agree with y'all. Y'all just facing like a uphill battle, but you know, keep going. Whatever y'all need from me, I'm there.
Absolutely. And I think homeless is more of a societal issue. It's clearly not a resource issue. And I think that's where a lot of confusion lies. People say, oh, it's just not enough to go around. And it really meshes well with both of you guys' points with Big Gerald and Short Man and what Alvin said. Big Gerald and Short Man are absolutely right. Anything you can do, because even though you may not be able to rescue the world, you can rescue one person's world, and that's more than many people can say they can do. So once again, kudos and salute to what you guys do. You're absolutely right. And Cal is absolutely right. I always say democracy is great, but capitalism is inherently evil. We all live in this capitalistic society, but it's literally designed for 99% of the people to support 1% of the people. And it's resource control. You have to have people in prison because it's a $1 billion business. You have to have people not healed but sick because it's a multi-billion-dollar business. If you don't think they could have cured cancer long ago, and this is not any type of aluminum foil conspiracy theorist, yes, I'm a hippie, yes, I go by bearded weirdo, but the resources are there. When people say, oh, raise money for, we spend billions of dollars on jets. We've got enough jets. We've got enough missiles. We've got enough guns. We've got enough bullets. But it's the treatment. It's the comeback. It's what makes people, you know, it's why it hasn't been cured. My former mother-in-law with my ex-wife, she died of multiple myeloma a few months before I got married. She was only 50 years old. And it's a disease that normally affects white and Asian people and in their 60s. She fought it for 15 years. As hard as she could, went through multiple stem cell transplants and did everything she could to stay on this earth. But it's simply because they spent hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars over 15 years trying to keep her alive. That's a lot of money. If you just had a shot that costs $100,000, even if it was $500,000, that's not nearly as much as they can make over the long term. So I think it's a societal issue. We have to stop looking at hoarding resources and looking at, you know, do you want a harmonious society or do you want a society where a few small percentage of the people are living high on the hog, buying $200 million yachts and the rest of us? And believe me, if you're not in the rest of us, if you're not in that 1%, you are three checks away from being homeless at any given time. I think 3/4 of us have experienced some type of homelessness. And we got, what, at least two of us I know have degrees. And all of us are highly educated, hardworking, motivated. And 75% of this panel has experienced homelessness for at least a brief amount of time. That shows you what the society, and what if you are a person that didn't have all the advantage that we had? You know, even though none of us have a perfect life, we've all had advantages that a lot of people haven't had. And if that can impact us, it can impact anyone. And that means it can impact you. So do what you can. You guys have any phone numbers or websites that people should, you think should check out to learn a little bit more, anything like that?
I will email it so I can get some stuff out, but I got a lot of stuff in this computer.
Perfect. What we'll do, we'll post it on the screen, so we'll have some resources for you guys. If you or someone you know or love are experiencing homelessness or houselessness, I think is the term they say now, let us know. And
even if you're battling with some addiction, I know a place out here in Tacoma, Washington, they're called RI International. They do help out with mental health and with battling addiction. Check them out. If you've got a loved one or a friend or somebody, you know, and you're in the state of Washington, Tacoma area, RI International. That's one place that I know. I don't really want to give too many places out. Like, I work with a lot of places, but personally, I wouldn't deal with a lot of places. And that's just my personal issues with certain things that I see. But I do know a couple other things, and we'll put them on the screen after a while after the episode is up.
Absolutely. And one last thing, my last word on it, and then Kyle's got a topic we're going to discuss. If you are not going to go out in the field, if you're not going to make a meal, if you're not going to go out and literally go on the streets and do something, and you are going to donate your money, please research where you're donating your money. Because a lot of organizations you'll go to and they have $100 million building and they've been doing charity for 60 years and nobody seems to know where that money goes. So please, if you are going to give your money, take 2 seconds and do a Google search and make sure where you're doing your money is tracked, where the dollars are going, and that they're not just set up to take your money and give 10%. Beware of things that raise for awareness. That doesn't mean they're fixing the problem. That means you're getting a pink bandana every once a year and people still dying of breast cancer. So just make sure you research where you're giving your money.
And nothing is better than time. I don't care how much money you give, time will always be better than money. So remember that.
Absolutely. The most valuable commodity, because they don't make any more of it. So that is always going to be your best bet. So maybe we'll do Mars Media. Maybe we'll go hand out some sandwiches or something that sound well. We'll think of something. We love
like that.
Absolutely. All right, Big Cal, you got a little topic for us. Let it ring, bro. Let it ring.
All right. So we're gonna segue to something. It may be funny to some people. It may be serious. I don't know how y'all gonna take it. So last week, Tekashi 6ix9ine got jumped. He got jumped in the gym. I don't know what he was thinking. I guess he went in there by himself. He was in the back. He was in the sauna. I guess I said that right. Some dudes walk in from the Latin Kings, and they stumped him out. I think it was fake. I mean, I was looking at it. I looked at some old Stone Cold tapes and the way they were stumping him down and how he was moving. I think it was all staged. His name hasn't been in the press in a while, and I ain't falling for it. So I wanted to see what y'all thought about it.
Oh, I was not expecting that tape. Big Gerald, what do you think? For number one, before we begin, has everyone seen the video?
Yes.
Multiple times. Okay. I think it's my screensaver. But so absolutely, we've all seen the video. So Big Gerald, I was not expecting that tape. That's a hot take. But Big Gerald, what do you think about
the video? Getting his ass kicked out.
So I wanted to go before Short Man went. I want him to love Jesus a little bit longer before he opened his mouth, okay?
Yes, at all.
Oh, yeah. So what I will say is this. For a fact, I know that he frequents that actual Planet Fitness in Florida. He's been there a little bit. And so he went there. This is the first in there. That's why I can see where your take is, that it might have been fake. I will say this. The only reason I'm speaking on this is because somebody said something that hit the media that I thought about too. They can go jump Tekashi and Planet Fitness, yet George Santos is walking around absolutely fine. So what is people really mad at? Yeah, he snitched, but we knew he wasn't what he said he was when he rapped. You okay? There's nothing about Tekashi 6ix9ine that made you think, man, I want to grow up to be just like him. Nothing. Yet, you know, Florida, I love home, but it's one of the most ass backwards places on the planet.
But don't forget, it was Latin people that jumped Tekashi to.
Yeah, I know. Yes, he is.
So do you believe it was staged?
Come on, big girl. Come.
Do you think it was staged, or do you think it was just?
I believe. Normally, with the stage, he'd have been on there. So I'm not talking about he gonna get back. He ain't said a word. He's been quiet. So I don't know if this is gonna be a big payoff, or he really got beat down. I'll say I want to go before Short Man went, because he went to praying and all this stuff. Because when I'm gonna let him speak, I'm ready to laugh.
So I will give my opinion before Short Man, because he's filling up, and we're gonna go into a talking with Short Man segment about this. So I'll hit it next, and then we'll go back to album. That is an interesting take. I mean, obviously, Tekashi is a product of a bunch of images of hip hop mixed in a bowl, and he made this persona. I personally, as a civilian, I am not one of those people that say stop snitching. I am not that person. Now, I do say if you are actively in that lifestyle, you have to take the repercussions that come with it. And I don't think you should tell on anyone else to lessen your time. But I, with Big Gerald, agree, he was never in that lifestyle. The man was a cameraman, and he put together this image, and he was essentially extorted. These are guys that are kidnapped him, robbed him, smashed his baby mama. Let me tell you, I'm going on record. Where's my camera? I would snitch on those Negroes too. No problem. You can say I'm not hip hop. You can say I'm not street. I'm not. If that happened to me, those are mortal enemies. Get your mortal enemies off the street as soon as possible. Could it have been staged? I think so. And the fact that he walked out relatively unscathed,
yes,
a few lumps, but I always thought you can jump harder than that at Bethel High. Third graduation. And so if this is the most these scary gangs can do, I don't know if that's a good look. The fact that he even walked out and somebody was saying, I'm a big fan, as he was getting jumped, definitely could have been staged. Maybe that also takes some heat off, because people could say, oh, he's got his comeuppance. I don't know. I'm interested to see what comes out of it. But it wasn't anything I thought of. At first, I was just like, he found the streets finally caught up with him. But it may have been staged. I'm going to say I'm 50-50 on that, Kyle. 50-50.
Oh.
But if I had to vote.
So you think
I think he could have been. The fact, because I'm also thinking of, if I'm a criminal, which I'm not, but if I'm a criminal, I'm not taping it. I'm not going to put this on. I know you want evidence.
That's a good point.
You know, if I'm really streets and I'm really like, I'm taking this out. I'm taking this guy out, and we're gonna find Tekashi in a lake somewhere. Like it was a very soft jumping. That's all I'm gonna say. So I never thought about it, Cal. You're a genius for this. But the more I think about it, I'm gonna say I'm 60-40 that it was staged. I'm gonna say it was staged.
I got one more before Short Man go, cause I want this in Short Man head. If he could fake being a gangster rapper, he can't stage this. If his whole persona was fake, why would this be fake either? So just think about that, Short Man. You done drunk half the bottle since we started this segment.
Don't play that game. Get that diesel out. Diesel out.
Let's not. This is not after dark. This is a morning show. So
Latin Kings, please do not come after me. I have nothing to do with this.
Breakfast of Champions. Is it my turn?
Go ahead.
So I got like two different things. You dumb waffle-colored Negroes that recorded it, you stupid fucks. Why would you even record the shit? That shit does seem fucking staged, you dumbasses. Y'all didn't even stomp him out fucking right. Like y'all recording it and talking about, oh, that's what you get now. But y'all really let George Floyd out in this bitch after he killed that young boy. Just
George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman.
I'm sorry.
Not George Floyd. That was the alcohol. George
Zimmerman. Hey, cut that. We're going to cut that out.
We're going to edit that out.
Yeah, we're going to Zimmerman, stupid ass. I'm really a little faded right now. I'm sorry, Lord. Please don't whip me later on. But y'all let Zimmerman, stupid ass, just walk around free, holding Skittles and doing all these stupid ass endorsements. And then nobody put no fucking paws on him in years. How long has it been since he killed Trayvon? Has it been 10?
Close to it.
I think
close to
it. I think it was 2014. So I think we're at
y'all, y'all letting this sucker duck motherfucker just walk around here freely all out in the streets. But y'all, I don't give a fuck about this snitch ass, rainbow colored hair ass boy. He needed his ass whooped because he'd been talking greasy. And guess what? If I ever get a chance, I'm going to fuck your baby mama too, punk. But that's nor neither here nor there. You needed that ass whooping, but if it was staged, they didn't do a good job. They Jesse Smollett your ass. Like, you staged some bullshit. I hope you go to jail off of that, and they put a butt plug in your stupid ass. And let me shut up, man, because I feel like it's half and half, like you said. These dummies, they recording it. The nigga that's recording it, he talking. And you ain't got no face mask on or nothing. All y'all going to jail for doing stupid shit in LA Fitness? Cameras everywhere in there. They saw your stupid ass walk out, and you only left a little mark on him because he walked out of unscathed with his little Hoochie Daddy shorts on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't really put no paws on him. Like, if you're going to whoop his ass, really whoop his ass. But nah, y'all did that shit for the gram, you stupid waffle-colored Negroes.
Hey, short man, don't forget this. And they already took responsibility on the ground. They didn't even hide it. They didn't try to run. They said who did it. They was like, it was them.
Oh, see,
so that's why I know it's staged.
You doing that shit for some attention. You dumb internet attention whores. Like, sit the fuck down somewhere, stupid asses. Like, let me run into Tekashi. I just don't like him because he do stupid shit. Like, the snitching shit, yeah, like, I run by that code. You was bad enough to be doing stuff, and then you tell on everybody. Yeah, you need your ass whooped. But Zimmerman is walking around. The man that killed Joy Floyd, like, he trying to get out. Like, ain't nobody did nothing to him in jail. Like, stick a broomstick in his ass. Like,
oh, wait.
The guys at Politicking As Usual does not support sticking broomsticks in anyone's rectal cavity, and we hope you'll rehab and get reformed during your prison stay. This is brought to you by Mars Entertainment. Fitzgerald, go ahead with your interjection.
So, I first of all, I want to applaud Short Man because he didn't go as far left as I thought he was going to go. So I need everybody to understand that. But I'm going to say this too. Cal brought up a valid point, and Mars, you kind of put this idea in my head. This monster was created. He wouldn't have been doing all that silly stuff he was doing had not these big companies been throwing money for him to go out there and rap about something he knew nothing about. It was his entourage that lived that life. He was just a face to put on there, and kids ate him up. Why? I don't know. But it made him millions of dollars. His girl got beat down by his friends in a big ass house he'd have never been able to afford with him. So you snitching on the people that basically made you who you were. I just think that, you know, the people get upset with him, but it was motherfuckers behind him pushing him to be this dumb. Now, is he a grown up and could have said no? Of course. Would he have been broke working at Applebee's? Sure.
He wouldn't have worked at Applebee's.
You know, money.
I love you, Applebee's. I love y'all.
I said Arby's.
Oh, you said Arby's? No, no, no. Don't put Arby's in that. Don't put Arby's or Applebee's in that. No, don't put Arby's in that. They make great fries. Don't do that. No. No,
we're not here for it's the simple fact of this is, like Mars said, this is more of a societal thing. Those companies threw that money at him, youngsters ate it up, and when it was time for him to stand up and whatever he was standing for, he decided not to. He did what anybody else would have did. I feel bad for the choices he made, but that's the thing, man. Money talks, and people will eat it up just to say that they can have it, just for their 15 minutes of fame. That's why they were shooting that commercial he was getting jumped. Like Cal said, that was staged.
Yep.
It makes sense, because everybody, the majority of us in here done been jumped and know what a jumping really is from Florida. I know what a jumping is, okay?
You don't walk out that easy.
Listen, we was in the playoffs in basketball, and I was hurt so I couldn't play, so I wore a suit. And I don't know why I wore a suit to a playoff game, but I got jumped outside that gym. Never happened again because I got brothers, but yes. So what I'm telling y'all, I know somebody jumped when I see it, and that was not that. So kudos to Kyle for bringing that point to light.
And if they're going to be doing jumping, make sure we jump out the people that did Big Drill's internet connection. Because while we did get some valid points for that, there were some points that were missed, but we know exactly what you're saying. And the guys that tapped my man in the suit, man, y'all shouldn't have done that. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Tekashi is a product, and I can't even say I'm better than him because I do consider my man of integrity. The type of money that he was throwing, I might put some rainbow gold teeth in my mouth and some extensions in my beard too. But, you know, that's hip-hop in general, and I think that's a deeper, maybe a conversation for another episode. We got to follow the money. I always say, if you want to know where the evil lies, follow the money. This guy's making millions. That means somebody's making tens, if not hundreds of millions, off of what him. If his cut is $10 million, somebody's making $100 million, and it's usually the record label who allows that. A lot of people say, down in the Den Wednesdays at 7 p.m., we interview a lot of artists. And a lot of people complain that, oh, woke artists or artists that that speak positive activity in the air aren't out there. There's tons, ladies and gentlemen, but the record labels don't support them because it's all about money. So they sign the more ignorant, the better. And these companies make money off these guys' early death. They'll sell, you know, two records while they're hot, make hundreds of millions of dollars, and then they inevitably get killed and they collect an insurance policy off this artist. And they don't have to pay the artists anymore because they're gone. So always follow the money. If you want to know where the evil lies, follow the money because it's the root. It's always the root of all evil.
Good point.
Absolutely. So this has been a stellar relaunch episode, man. I thank you guys for tuning in. We're going to wrap this thing up. I want to give a special shout out to my co-host, Short Man, Big Gerald, Kyle Jones. Thank you guys so much for tuning into Politics as Usual. But before we go, I want to give the fellas an opportunity to give a shout out to anyone they want to give one to and give you their social media and let you know what they got in store for you guys. Because here at Mars Media, we're making sure that we give you the best entertainment possible 7 days a week. So we're going to start with Kyle Jones. Please, any shout outs you want to give, anything you want to promote, the floor is yours. We're going to go with Big Drill, Short Man, and then I'll close us out.
What's up? Again, Kyle Jones. Still working on the social media. That'd be up soon. Want to shout out the beautiful Quan. Hey, baby. Hey, mama. I know you're going to watch this. It was good hanging with y'all again. Like always, it's always good.
Absolutely. Big Drill, send them home.
All right, it's your boy Big Gerald. You can hit me on Facebook at Gerald Williams. Thank you, Christian Mingle, for all the support and love. I mean, I appreciate y'all. I want to give a shout out to my kids for staying their asses downstairs and allowing me to come and do this with my brothers.
Shout out.
They will be going to McDonald's after this. They were stellar. I didn't have no surprises for my 6-year-old, so they'll get treated. And as always, man, it's always a pleasure being in your brother's presence.
Absolutely. And shout out to the Super Mario Brothers shirt. Killing it. Shirt of the day. Shirt of the day. Short Man.
Yo, you know, let me take this off, man. Thank you, Lord, for a great day and the blessing that you have bestowed upon me and my brothers. But you can catch me on IG, Shortman A300. Always catch me on Politicking as usual with my group of guys down in the Den After Dark. That is the home base, that is the family. But off punishment, baby, we here.
Oh, yeah,
we here. I got some fire for you, and we getting ready to drop we days away. If this airs really, really soon, our punishment might have been already aired. But we it's coming. I got the fabulous, beautiful, thickadocious neon nails as the first interview. I got Young Ree. I got Mars. Big Gerald coming. Cal's Court coming up on After Dark. As you watch this, it's amazing. This is by far, this is the greatest thing I am doing with my brothers. We're building a brand and a legacy. The takeover has begun. Can't nobody with us. We for the kids.
Yeah, he said it best. There's not much I can add to that. Once again, thank you for my brothers. Politicking as usual, the relaunch. I am so, so proud. It's been amazing doing this, but it's been even more amazing doing this with my brothers. When I started this campaign 3 years ago, December 31st, 2019, I started this with a cell phone and a dream. And less than 3 years later, or 3 years later, man, we're just building and growing. And I believe this is the brand you need to get in now while the getting's good, because soon you ain't going to be able to touch any of us with a 10-foot pole. But we still love the people. It's politicking as usual. It's the fellas. It's your boy Mars, a.k.a. Marlon Beardo, the bearded weirdo, the silver surfer, the creator of culture, the Stella Rosa, Casanova, signing off with all my boy. He loves Jesus. He loves Mario Brothers. He loves Polo. And shout out to all the Den Mates. Shout out to all the short maniacs. Shout out to Cal Jones. Shout out to Big Gerald. Even shout out to Big Will. Shout out to Nikki New. Shout out to the lovely Quan. She's going to have some stuff that's cooking that's going to be phenomenal. Tampa, Washington, VA. We're going all over the globe. And even shout out
Vegas.
And Vegas coming soon. Tampa coming soon. So we got more incredible content. I want y'all to do three things for me. I want you to like this video. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any of the other platforms, I need you to subscribe to that station right there. I need you to follow all of these men on their social media. That information will be on the page. And if you want to get any information on booking, we're available for interviews. We're available for hosting all over the globe. So if your money's right, the funny's right. We're going to be there. So as always, we love you guys. Thank you for tuning in. Politicking, talking. I'm not even drunk yet. This coffee, my first coffee in 4 years has got the caffeine racing through my veins. So I might just go out and run a mile after this. Shout out to everybody who's tuning in. We love you guys. We're out this piece. Politicking as usual.
Peace. Bye, y'all.
That's it. As soon as I feel that stop button.
What's up, y'all? We still here.
Dude, what's
moving all the way to the other side of the screen?
Yeah, shout out to Mama Leggy.
Oh. I'm gonna let it shine.
Mama Leggy, we can bring that wine for that interview.